A very good morning to everyone. Welcome to the Sunday service of FCC. This is already the last Sunday of February 2021. So do you wonder where all the time has gone? Just a couple of weeks ago, as I was listening to the radio, I heard the news about how a funeral home in UK, because of the COVID-19 situation, had to try to engage their clients more through digital broadcasts and all those, for those people that were not able to attend the funeral service together as a family. So when I first heard this news, I was surprised, then I felt sad. Because that is exactly what FCC is trying to do and have been trying to do since we started our digital broadcast. We've been trying to engage and engage and engage, but I've got absolutely no idea what engagement means to each of us. So as we come for this Sunday service, as we calm down our hearts, settle our hearts, whether you're on site or online, think about what it means to you to come and attend a service, to participate in worship, to perhaps pray together, to listen to the Word of God. And whether throughout all this, is your mind being like flying all over, all around? Or are you able to settle down and really try to experience God in your life? So let us participate, start this worship with a call to worship. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us be glad this day for life,
for breath, and for freedom to worship.
Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord.
We come to bring our gifts of praise and gratitude to the God of all creation.
Trust in the Lord at all times, O people. God is a refuge for us.
God is our rock and our salvation. We shall not be shaken.
God is good, and in God's work we find our strength.
We sing of all God's wonderful works. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord.
So as we join the worship team in the time to worship, for those people on site, though we are not able to sing out loud, please feel free to raise your hands, to wave your hands around, to tap your feet, or to stand up if you are willing. For those who are joining us at home, please feel free to sing out loud in your own privacy.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. From heaven you came running, there is love in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Let's sing. Despise the cost, for even in your suffering, you still came to our side. Knowing it's our brokenness that caused you our love to die. Let's lift up voices. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. The stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the people stood in awe. For the hearts of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel's truth of old shall not yield, shall not fail. By your word and in your name, in your freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Let's sing the chorus. Praise the Father. Praise the Father.
Hi, good morning, church. My name is Mark, and I'll be leading the prayer for today. I'll start off with a verbal prayer to guide us through that process, and then I will also give some time for everyone to name your own concerns or the people on your hearts and lift them up to God. Okay, so let us close our eyes and prepare ourselves. Please grant yourself a moment of peace by feeling the weight and the body of the space around. And with each breath, allow yourself to surrender to God more fully and more completely. To the God of many names, thank you for our lives, our family, our friends, and our community. Thank you for your presence in our lives, walking with us each day through each challenge and trial, and every single triumph. Lord, your living water sustains us, and your Spirit stirs and moves in us, whispering to us your will and the choices we can make to love you more courageously. Lord, your word and the stories of many spiritual greats that have come before us teach us what it means to love our God with all our hearts and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in our lives and for being ever ready to guide us, sometimes gently and sometimes with a firm hand, but always, always with love. Thank you, Lord, and we give you your praise, the praise you deserve, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our church, FCC, our community, with your continued and ever-present healing. Amidst the brokenness of the world that we live in today, many people are hurt. And many people who are hurt, hurt people. Lord, we live in a world of mistrust, misinformation, unhealthy competition, selfish ambition, and politics, and transactional, materialistic relationships. Forgive us for the times we may have participated in making the world broken. Forgive us for the times we acted not in love, but in fear, seeking acceptance and recognition from the people around us who may not love us. And forgive us for the times, Lord, that we may not have been courageous enough to live out your word and speak the truth of your word in our lives. Lord, we pray and ask for your continued blessings for the work of this church, the leaders of our community, the board, council, cell leaders, and crucially our pastors who are doing their best to make FCC a voice in the desert and to prepare your way. Lord, continue to empower each and every person in this church, every child of yours, with the wisdom to contribute in their own ways to the building of your kingdom. We pray a special prayer of thanksgiving for the flourishing of growth and support networks in this church, especially within the transgender community, and the stepping up of new initiatives like the Mandarin Ministries outreach for those who seek reconciliation with their faith and sexuality. Thank you for the gifts and contributions of each and every member of this church, big and small, named and unnamed. You know them all, Lord, and with a grateful heart, we offer a prayer of thanksgiving for each and every person. Bless us and keep us as individuals and as a community. Lord, now hear the prayers of our hearts and the concerns of our hearts. Lord, we lift them up to you. To the God of many names, we thank you and give you praise. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers and for inviting us to participate in the living out of your word in our lives. Lord, I pray and ask for your blessings, your peace, your presence to be felt, fully embodied in the lives, the stories, the trials and the tribulations that we live through each day of our lives. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The highlands and the heartache all the same. Whoa. Good morning, everyone. It's certainly great to be able to see all your faces here. It's been 1 year since I've had the opportunity to share the word from this pulpit, and feels very different today because, you know, the setup is different. There are cameras pointing at me. There is fewer people here in the room, and I feel that so much has happened in the last year of what we have gone through as a community. So for those people who don't know me, and maybe I'm a newer face to you, because usually it's Pauline and Miak who shares the word here every Sunday, my name is Gary, and for the past 1 year, as part of the board, we have been busy trying to figure out how to continue meeting as a church and being the church, especially going through the whole COVID situation. And today, it's my great pleasure to be able to share the word with you, and I pray that this time will be an incredible encounter with the divine for each and every one of us. Today, we continue our series of our story of God and us. This is a series that we kicked off last week with Miak starting to talk about the Bible. And today, I would like to share with you my personal journey of what I've been learning. I hope that it will help you on your own faith journey, especially around who God is to you and what your relationship with God is like. If you're joining us live this morning, whether here at FCC or online, I would like to invite you to share and participate in this sermon by sharing reflections on menti.com. Or you can also use the YouTube chat window as I share what I'm learning and as we reflect on the Word of God together today. So if you can go to menti.com and enter in the code 5906582, you'll be able to contribute your reflections and also see the slides up close and personal. I know it's a bit small over here. Do also remember that all your responses that you share is going to be completely anonymous. So I hope that encourages you to contribute actively and honestly. So the first question to begin our time together is, I would like to ask you to share your thoughts about what words would you use to describe God? What words would you use to describe God? So here is a good time for you to open up your web browser, take out your phone, and start to share your responses. Today, we're going to explore important questions about faith. Whether you consider yourself a Christian or not, whether you care to admit it or not, all of us have faith. How we live our lives is based about what we believe about God, what we believe about people, about the world, about ourselves, and about the relationship between us and all of these things. So today, we're going to be going to begin looking at one core part of faith, and that is how we see God. And so before I start to share my words I use to describe God, let's have a look at the words that you have used. Love, creator, provider, light, parent, unknown, boundless, grace, messenger, good, all incredible words that I'm sure that are very personal to you. For me, and for maybe some of you, the words I used to understand God was formed by what I was taught in the tradition that I grew up in. I was brought up in a Christian family, and every Sunday, I would go, mostly unwillingly, to attend our family Presbyterian church when I was young. Every Sunday, whether it was the main adult service or the children's church, there was a continual narrative that told me that sin, that it was sin that separated me from God, and that Adam and Eve was the cause of all of this and began the whole destructive process. And they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because God could not be with sinful people because God was too holy. So for me, the words that I understand God back then and I grew up with was a God who is righteous and holy. I also learned that we needed to build a bridge through Jesus' death and resurrection to get us back into a right relationship with God. Some of us may remember this as the four spiritual laws. See, some of you are laughing away, even beneath the mask. And so I understood God in the person of Jesus as my Savior. And if you grew up in church, you have been probably heard a very similar teaching or have similar experience. Evangelism in many Christian circles was a call for us to try and introduce these four spiritual laws to as many people as possible. And looking back at the church that I grew up in, I realized it made us very exclusive because this understanding made us perpetually insecure about our relationship with God. If we had any chance of making it to heaven in the face of this righteous, holy God, we need to continually make sure that we are repenting for our sins, keep professing Christ as our Savior. And so we live with this unconditional, eternal insecurity. Nobody wanted to risk being in the out-group. And the parents and the people in the church that I grew up with were a very sincere group of people, and they did their best from this place of understanding. When we first started FCC 18 years ago, I brought this understanding of God to this church with me. My first experience in leading worship and preaching right from this pulpit was to cut and paste what I had learned before. That was the worldview that I was taught and the one that I held since I was young. When we first started FCC, we invited many different people to preach at FCC and to be a part of our community, including people like the late Bishop Yap. Some of you might know him as the retired Methodist Bishop of Singapore and Malaysia, and he served as FCC's pastoral advisor for many, many years till he passed in 2017. Now, Reverend Yap held very different views about Christianity, and he used very different words about the nature of God compared to what I was using. And back then, I felt it was my duty to help to reinforce the version of the truth that I knew and understood. I thought that he was a heretic. And each time he preached, I took note of where I would disagree and used it in the next sermon the following week to try to disprove it. So during that time, the pulpit was very exciting. It was a war zone every week where people did battle in. And while I deeply appreciated his ministry and loved the courage of how he stood with the LGBTIQ community, I didn't like him very much. because he had this impatience with me because my theological worldview was so different from his. He always made it a point to stand with the marginalized, to try to build bridges to other faiths, and was very critical of the church, our church, and the institution of the church. And I felt that I really needed, you know, to be a faithful defender of the foundations of the Christian institution and the faith, or rather, the foundations of my faith at that time. And so for many of us who come to this church, we are not new Christians. And what naturally we try to do is that we try to recreate the experience of the tradition that we had come from what we had lost. I know some of us still attend our previous churches, and you know they're available online, even though you're part of FCC, because there are things that come from that experience that gives you comfort. And at the core of it for me was my understanding that while I knew that God loved me, I actually didn't think that God liked me very much. Because of all of my sin, because of all of the things that I did wrong, and I felt that this holy God was angry with me. As part of my development and developing the leaders when we were growing up as FCC, some of you might know that I attended Hillsong Church's annual conference for 15 years every July in Australia. That was my retreat. For 1 week, I would go and hear from God and experience God together with 30,000 other people. I would always go back each year to be inspired and to be comforted by the speakers. And they invited people who mostly came from a very similar understanding as me in the way that I understood God. And they shared about how to lead, how to organize, how to teach, and how to care from their place of understanding. I stopped attending the conference in 2017 after going for 15 years. It got to a point where theologically, I was filtering more and more the parts I could no longer agree with, and finding less and less that I could learn from them. I realized that something had changed. They didn't change. I had changed. And it was not because I was no longer believing in the Christian God. It was because the way I see God, myself, people, and the world around me had changed. Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. said that once a mind is stretched by a better idea or experience, can never shrink back to its original dimensions. And my stretching came about being part of this community and different communities, having an opportunity to attend seminary. And this gave me an important opportunity to be exposed to new people, new conversations, new experiences with God that has stretched me and helped me grow. It helped me grow in the way I understand God, understand myself, understand people, the world, and the relationships between all of these things. At this time, I would like you to input into your mentee, if for you this resonates at all, has the way you understand God changed over time? You know, stretching and changing was very uncomfortable for me in the beginning. But I learned that growth only happens when I allow myself to be stretched, when I allow myself to step out of the comfort zone of familiarity and even the things I might have been very certain about. So you can see here that for many of you, you embrace the growth mindset much more than I did earlier. And I want to thank you for that. So you're in the right place at the right time. But for me, you know, I had, after 15 years of going to Hillsong Conference, I needed a new retreat. And I needed to find something new to go to, a new conference to attend, a new place to learn. So in 2019, on the invitation of one of my very close friends, who in the end, you know, in Singapore language, tuat me at the last moment, or, you know, played me out and didn't go, I made my way to the U.S., to attend the Wild Goose Festival. I have been reading about many theologians who have been shaping my understanding about the Bible and God in the recent years. You can see up here on the screen people like Brian McLaren, Barbara Brown Taylor, Nadia Bowles Weber, Stan Mitchell, Bishop Yvette Flunder, and Pete Eanes, and they were all going to be speaking at this very different type of conference. And actually, many of the sermons that you have experienced and heard from me over the years are a direct result of what I've been learning in and through the lives and the teachings from these people. These were the people who began to introduce me to a possibility that there was a better way to understand the God that was presented in Christianity. And once you see God differently, then everything changes for you. The Wild Goose Festival was a very different type of conference from what I was used to. Instead of being conducted in a church or a stadium like Hillsong Conference, we were in the great outdoors. And many of the people who attended stayed in camper vans and slept in tents. Not quite my thing. After what I was used to, all the creature comfort. And this is an example of the lodgings, the incredible lodgings over there. Imagine when it was raining, and yes, it poured hard in that area during that time. What I found was a deeply inspiring and very deeply reassuring conversations, experiences, and encounters in a whole new way. What used to be inspiring for me in the past was to belong to something that I felt that I could connect with that was larger than myself and find meaning in that. And in this conference, I felt that while the context has changed, being at Wild Goose allowed me to be with a group of people who I could be authentic with, and as a gay Christian, to be able to share my ideas authentically. I didn't have to hide it like when I was in Hillsong Conference, and to explore questions. And I found it deeply safe and assuring in a very different way. I want to invite you to one of the most important decisions that you would make. Today, if you're newer with us, are you here to hear something to be reassured of that you already know? Or are you willing to let go of the familiar so that you can learn and grow and encounter something bigger and better in the mystery of God? Today, I wish that I had embraced the growth mindset like many of you have earlier and be a part of a community that could help me authentically work through and explore the issues of faith and do life together. Many of you are already in the right place, and I invite you today as we go through some passages of Scripture to embrace this growth mindset. Because once you allow yourself to be exposed to a better idea, your mind can never go back to the way it was before. You cannot unsee what you have seen, but only you can see if you are willing to open the eyes of your heart. And that, for me, is my understanding of what Reformation is. Reformation is a shift, a renewal, a revolution of thinking and understanding. And with that, I'm going to start right at the beginning where it all happened, at the creation story in Genesis. I remember as a young preacher in FCC that this was one of the very first sermons that I've ever preached here from this pulpit. And I was here trying to defend the literal accuracy of the Genesis story. How the world was created in 7 literal days. How Adam and Eve were the first 2 humans that was ever created by God. And how the 2 of them began this whole destructive process for all humanity. And how they were kicked out of Eden because God could not look upon their sin because God was too holy. And as a result of that sin, it separates us from God today. And now we need this bridge to help us to get back into that right relationship with God. And so, I want to use this opportunity to read for us that passage in Genesis 3 again that shaped all of that. And we're going to take some time to unpack this together. So let's look at Genesis 3 and verse 1. And it says here, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' verse 4. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Verse 11, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Today when I read this, I do get annoyed with myself that at one time I actually thought that this was a factual historical account rather than a story. Firstly, we have to deal with the issue of a talking serpent, which even children can clearly differentiate a story versus a historical account. I used to pride myself at my ability to defend the literal interpretation of the Bible. Instead of learning how to read and interpret the Bible literally, there's a bit of a difference there. The story is a very important one for us to explore because right here in this story, the interaction with the serpent and the woman had, we deal with three very important questions that we all deal with. How we understand God, how we understand God sees us, and how we understand the relationship between God and ourselves. In the story, the serpent essentially looked at a woman who thought God was love and said that God was not love. The serpent looked at a woman who thought that she was beloved and said, "No, you are not beloved. You do not have the relationship with God that you thought you had." The serpent looked at the woman who was made in the image of God and said, "No, you were not made in the likeness of God." The Bible says that it was only then when she saw that the fruit was good. She actually never saw the fruit in that particular way that it was good until she saw herself and she saw God differently. I'm going to repeat that again because it's a very, very important point. The Bible says in the scripture in Genesis 3 that it was only when she saw herself and saw God differently that she saw that the fruit was good. And it's a very simple principle here. How you see God changes everything. The serpent told her that she had a sickness that she did not have. The serpent told her and offered her a cure that she did not need and entered her into a sickness as a result of unbelovedness that led to her shame. And as a result of what they had done, they felt ashamed and they created a covering for themselves and went to hide. Think about it for a moment. The first covering that was created was not a covering for sin. The woman saw the fruit with her eyes, picked it with her hands, ate it with her mouth, digested it with their stomachs, and yet the covering that they made had nothing to do with eating or the fruit. The covering that they made was in response to shame. And what did they do? They covered their sexuality, even though they had not sinned sexually. And then I saw something that I could not unsee. I saw that the human condition is not one that is inherently separate from God as a result of the fall, that actually all beings have union with God. But in the Christian tradition I grew up in, I was taught that people are born separated from God. And unless you are reunited with God, you will go to hell. While we can't be separated from God, what we see here is that we can certainly feel estrangement or feel distance or be uncomfortable with God. So when Adam and Eve hears God coming, they hide in the trees. So who is it here that went to hide? Was it God who went to hide away from Adam and Eve? Or was it Adam and Eve who hid away from God? Because we always think that when we mess up, that God is no longer going to be with us or wants to be in our presence. Is that who God is? They sinned, but God still came. But the model I was taught growing up is that when people sin, God separates and hides from us because God's holiness is defined by God's incapacity of sin, and therefore God can't be in our presence. And therefore you need all of these sacrifices to allow God to be back together with sinful people, and that is the salvation process. Do you see how different it is from the story here in the garden? Eve sinned, Adam sinned, and God still came, and they hid. And so, yes, there was a distance now between them and God, but it was an emotional distance that was caused by the shame that they carried. They were estranged from God. They were uncomfortable being in God's presence. I think it's one of the saddest aspects of human history is that we somehow think that we are separated from God, and we're supposed to be therefore separated from one another and separated from creation in the way that we exploit it. And that's what I learned, that the fall was not because of our inherent disconnectedness as we have as a result of Adam's fall. The fall is really the fall away from the state of shalom. Now, this word shalom is commonly translated in our Bibles as peace. But shalom is the original intention of the way things ought to be, the way relationships were created to be. Our relationships between us and God, us and one another, us and ourselves, and us and creation. It is this illusion of separateness that creates very destructive things on our planet, like hate, war, discrimination, inequality, slavery, poverty, low self-esteem, climate change. All of this comes from this very inability, this illusion of separateness. And if you get only one thing from this sermon today, I hope it would be this. If you are feeling distant from God, know that God has never, ever forsaken you. You are inherently connected and united with all things, whether that be to God or even to others, yourself, and all of creation. At this most foundational level of existence is this connection, and this union is called love. Pauline will be exploring more about this next week, but this love that lives in you is ready to be awakened and experienced. If we are willing to let go of our ideas of separation and fall into the arms of a God that is waiting to receive us. A big part of the Christian tradition is built on the assumption of innate separation. Our product has been pursuing salvation and not following Jesus Christ. So missions is often expressed much more about conversion than it is about the restoration of shalom. And so, when I understood this, it took me a long time to unpack it. Because I had to ask myself, is the way that I focus on my ministry actually offering a cure for an illness that doesn't exist? Or being part of a solution for one that does? You see, the serpent didn't come to Eve and first tempt her to disobey God. The serpent first came to Eve and tempted her with shame and estrangement. The serpent tried to convince her that she was not the beloved of God. He tried to convince her that God was not caring for her. He tried to convince her that she lacked something by not eating the fruit. The serpent said, not only will you not die, you will live like you never lived before because you're lacking something today. So the serpent came to a woman who was fully whole, a woman who had full union with God, and tried to convince her that she was not. The serpent was saying to Eve, you're running around here thinking that you and God are great, but you're really not. And that was striking at her core identity of belovedness. And that's a shame strike. The mirror of this story is the second time that we see the serpent do the very same thing to Jesus right after his baptism in the wilderness. And so I'm going to go and move us now and transition us to a very familiar passage that we read during the season of Lent that we are in. We're in this season of Lent where it's intentional time for us to draw close to God and reflect on the life of Jesus. So I invite you to see the parallels of the Eden story in this passage that we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. And it says here, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Verse 8, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. So can you see the parallels here with the Genesis story? Jesus' test in the wilderness was not a test if he would sin. It was a shame temptation. Think about it. Turning stone into bread is not a sin. Jesus did miracles like turning water into wine. Jesus defied the laws of gravity. He walked on water. But just before this, the context was that Jesus had just been baptized and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he had these words ringing in his ears, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, many of us understand Jesus as the second Adam, and here he finds himself in the same place as the first Adam, knowing that he was God's beloved, and that he was not pleased by God, he was pleased in God. Before one miracle, before the moment that he decided that he was going to walk on water, or hang from the cross, or rise from the dead, God was pleased in Jesus. And with this ringing in his ears, he immediately is driven into the wilderness, and the first thing that the serpent said to him is a repeat of the Eden Garden story. If you're the beloved Son of God, turn this stone into bread and prove it. Perform the miracle and prove and justify your belovedness. That is a shame temptation, not a sin temptation. That is a temptation to believe less about yourself than you need to believe, to lose your identity. And Jesus will go on to do so many other miracles, but he refused the temptation to have to do that to justify who he was. So I'm saying that the creation story and the fall, all of these stories in Scripture don't actually reveal that four spiritual laws of sin, separation, salvation model. They actually come to reveal a shame, estrangement, restoration model. But the church has been so obsessed with sin, especially sexual sin, And this has had a profound impact on LGBTIQ people. The first human experience of sexuality was naked and not ashamed. And the second experience was naked and ashamed, but not naked and sinful. But as a church, we are so obsessed by this whole idea of sexual sin. We jump straight to sin when this 13-year-old little boy was found to be keeping a journal about the boys in his class as they went through their changes during puberty, who gets into fights with other boys, who touches himself looking at underwear catalogs with men in it, and we think that he has got a sin problem. But if you trace this little boy's sin back, it's this nerdy 6-year-old kid who was laughed at because he didn't behave the same way that other boys did. It was that shy 6-year-old kid who was told that he was not good enough. It was that skinny 6-year-old kid who couldn't coordinate himself at sports. That's shame. And we're instead going to tell him about sin and how he needs Jesus because he's separated from God. And God takes the fig leaves off Adam and Eve, and they are embarrassed, not God. And then God takes animal skins and covers them. And so often, we think that we need to cover our sins through sacrifice so that a holy God could be comfortable with us. But it is really God who comes to cover our shame so that we could be comfortable with God. The gods have never been angry, and our God is certainly not angry. I want to finish this time together with one more story. A story that's very close to me, and it's the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. I love this parable because I see the heart of all of this playing out in this story. This is not a story that's not new to any of us, but the power of this story is still so fresh for me and giving me a picture of the heart of God. You see, the younger son didn't take a straight path from child of the devil to child of the father. The beautiful reality of this journey of the younger son was that it was a circular journey. His salvation was to come home to whom he always was. The son had union with the father, and then he lost sight of his identity in his mind and goes to a faraway country. And in that country, he had a moment of revelation. And in that moment of revelation, the text says that it was not that he came to God. It didn't even say that he came to the father. The text said that he came to himself. He said, "Wait a minute, what am I doing here? I'm a son. I have a father. I will go home," right? But he still didn't understand the heart of the father because he said, "I know what's going to happen. I'm going to walk up to that porch. I'm going to stick my foot in the door and he's going to open the door. The chain's still going to be on the door. And I'm going to have about 15 seconds to make my speech before he kicks me off the porch. And I'm going to tell him, I'm not worthy. You don't need to love me. Please make me a slave. I don't deserve any of this. Take me back as a farmhand." And this younger son rehearses this speech all the way home. And as he was approaching his home, down the road comes this old man, half hobbling, half running. And the old man throws himself on the boy. And the boy covers himself because he thinks he's about to get beaten. But instead, love covers a multitude of sin and shame, not blood. Love does. And that day, love covered that boy. And instead of receiving the father's love that covered his shame, what did the younger son say? "I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this. You're wrong doing this, father. Just make me a servant." And the very first word that came out of the father's mouth was quickly. Quickly. He shouted it, quickly, quickly, kill the fatted calf, reminding us about how people had continually sacrificed the best animals so that they could be made acceptable to God. So here an animal has to die again in the story, but the question here is that did the son have to sacrifice the animal to cover his sins, or did the Father do it so that the Son could be comfortable in the presence of the Father, so that the Son could have that party and have the animal cover the boy's shame? The story of the lost son is also the story not just of the younger brother, but also the elder brother. The elder brother wouldn't come in to this younger son's party because he told the father, "You have never thrown one of these for me, and I've been slaving here my whole life." So while the younger brother was a slave in a faraway country, the elder brother was a slave in the front row of the church. And both of them were lost. Not lost because of a fall, not because the father was so holy, but because they had both lost their identities of who they were in relationship to the father. As we close our time together, I would like to ask you, what change today is God inviting you to see? A mind stretched by a better idea or a better experience can never shrink back to its original dimensions. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 2, verse 22. "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins." Like new wineskins, we need to have the strength and the flexibility to contain the potency of new wine. We're not here to rewrite the story. We're here to see stories differently. And when we see it differently, the basis of our understanding changes. We remember the stories in a certain way, but when our lenses change and we rewatch or review the actual event, we realize that there are key moments where we were completely wrong about the story. We remember things differently than what things actually happened or what we thought had happened. What new wine is God pouring into you today? What change is God inviting you to see? So let's have a look at some of the responses that you have shared. "I am enough. I am worthy of love, no matter what. To see that God is not ashamed of our sins. God has already taken the initiative. Now it's up to me. To see myself differently as beloved. Not to be ashamed with God, including when I don't show up for quiet time. Love covers all. God loves us so much." Thank you all for that, your responses, and keep them coming. One common invitation that unites us all as Christians is that God invites us to see the heart of God through the life of Jesus. I want to share with you this passage to close. In John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus says to one of his disciples, Philip, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Richard Rohr puts it this way: Jesus' coming was not to change God's mind about us. Jesus came so that we could have our minds changed about what God is like. We often hear the good news of the gospel is that we can be reunited with God through Jesus Christ. But today, I invite you to see that the great news is that we have never been separated from God. And God comes to meet each one of us right where we are. And my prayer for all of us listening in is that the eyes of our heart will be open to experience the God who is with you, for you, and goes ahead of you in this season of Lent. Amen.
I see the world in love. I see the world in freedom. I see the Jesus way. How wonderful our Lord is. Let's take this time to praise our God.
Have you ever seen the wonder in the glimmer of a sight? A as the eyes began to open, and the blindness needs the light. If you have so say, I see the world in light, I see the world in wonder, I see the world in light, bursting in living color, I see the world your way, and I'm walking in light. Have you ever seen the wonder in every second life? Having come out the waters with the old one left behind. You have so say, I see the world in light, I see the world in wonder, I see the world in life, bursting in living color, I see the world your way, and I'm walking in light.
I see the world in grace.
I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way. And I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the wonder. You're wandering the world. Turning wilderness to wonder. I see the world in love, I see the world in freedom, I see the Jesus way, you're wondering the world. I see the world your way, I'm not afraid to follow, I see the world your way, I'm not afraid to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in light.
I see the world in light.
I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in light.
I see the world in grace.
I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way. And I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the wonder. You're wandering the world. Turn the wilderness to wonder. So say, I see the world in love, I see the world in freedom, I see the Jesus way, you're wandering the world, turning wilderness to wonder, you're wandering the world, turning wilderness to wonder.
Let us prepare for a time of Holy Communion together. For those of you who are joining us from home, if you haven't already, now would be a good time to prepare the elements so that we can all partake together. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we are not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. We are your people, God, called together in your love. We are your children, Mother, called together around the table of your word. We are your disciples, Lord, called to praise and give you thanks.
We thank you, good and gracious God, for calling us to be your people, for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to touch and bless our world.
Even as your people, God, we are separated from ourselves, each other, and you, the Creator of life. Let us confess our brokenness.
As people caught in our tradition, we confess that we have helped perpetuate systems that deny the dignity and sacred worth of all sorts and conditions of persons. We have paid lip service to equality. Our lives are based on discrimination of the other. We have been our own worst enemies. We have failed ourselves, others, and we have failed you, God. Moved by your power, we accuse ourselves because we have not allowed you to form us as a new people. We confess our sin and we pledge to work for reconciliation with one another. We thank you, gracious God, for forgiveness and the chance to start again. We thank you, gracious God, for the gift of your Spirit given to us in Jesus, in whom we are freed from the past and its oppression, in whom the gift is complete. Gracious God, you are the Mother of creation and the Father of all life. We are gathered as your people to thank you for your blessings, to receive your mercy and forgiveness, and to remember how Jesus died for us, accepting death to show his love for us and you. Remember how Jesus came to us, becoming one of us, born like us, of flesh and blood and bone, a fully human person, like us in all things but sin. We remember how, on the night before Jesus died, he gathered with his friends for one last meal. As Jesus loved them then, so he loves us now. Dear siblings, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more, ever. Anyone eating this bread will not die, ever. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, remember me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant. I love you as I have been loved. Abide in my love. This is my blood shed for you. Take, drink, remember me. May the stewards come forward to distribute the elements. Thank you.
all together.
Jesus, you are always present in our midst. You come to us simply, lovingly, humbly, in word and sacrament, in this bread and wine, and in the love we share with one another.
Let us eat and drink of this bread and wine, remembering Jesus, his teaching, his life, his suffering, his death, and his rising to new life. For those of you who are willing and able, you may join me in standing. Gracious and loving God, you have made us one in the body of Christ and nourished us at your table with holy food and drink.
Thank you for feeding our hunger and relieving our thirst. With deep gratitude, we offer you our lives, our love, ourselves.
Gathered in Jesus by your life-giving Spirit, may we become a new people, wholly pleasing to you. A people giving glory to your name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Gary, for the sermon. I have a quote that says that people change for two main reasons. Their minds have opened or their hearts have been broken. So I'm glad Gary has changed because his mind has been opened instead of having his heart broken. But I think the most important thing, I think the most scary thing for me is that if I look back at my life like 1 year down the road or 5 years or 10 years down the road, and you see that you have not changed at all, I think that's the most scary thing. So, I mean, as we continue to grow, continue to gather together as a community, may FCC be this opportunity for each and every one of us to grow and to change, of course, for the better. And then we see that maybe at the end of the year, as we reflect back, we can come and share what and how our life has changed. So thank you once again for joining us this Sunday for the Free Community Church Sunday service, where free stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. Indeed, we welcome you regardless of who you are. It was kind of funny when Gary was preaching it's not about sin and separation, and then suddenly our communion said something about sin and separation. So it was kind of funny. But this is the... Okay, I know my sense of humor is not appreciated. But anyway, this is the... we have come to the giving segment of the service. I know when it comes to talking about money, it can sound very transactional, but we do know that this is a very practical world, and we all need money, and the church needs money to actually run this place and run the service, and also to run whatever... ministries outreach that we want to outreach to other people. So you can give by PayNow. There's actually two QR codes. One is the FCC General Fund. One will be for the FCC Building Fund. You can give by scanning the above QR codes. So as we prepare our hearts to give, let us pray. God, indeed, in the many times when we felt that you are away from us, we know that that is not the truth, but indeed, it is us running away and hiding away from you. You are always present in our life. And we thank you for the love that you've given us and for all the blessings and the life experience you've given us, whether good or bad. God, as we continue to give of our time and effort, may we also use this time to actually use the giving of what we have as a spiritual discipline and as a response to your love to us, so that indeed we may use the resources that we've been given to show your love to those out in the society. God, we continue to pray for wisdom in the use of these resources, and we lift up all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So for those on site, if you would like to give by cash, please just raise your hands and then the stewards will come to you with the offering bags. So as the stewards go around, we will continue with the announcement segment of the service. If you are new to FCC, you are free to actually just fill up the form fcc.la/fccwelcome so that we can get to know you better. There's a newcomers meeting every last Sunday of the month. Today, there's a newcomers meeting also, but it'll probably be a bit too late for you to sign up at this moment. So if you are interested to join us at the newcomers meeting, please just send an email to info@freecomchurch.org so that you can be informed of the next newcomers meeting on the last Sunday of March. But in preparation for baptism during the Easter Sunday service on the 4th of April, we are actually having baptism classes. It's on both 8 and 15 of March from 8 p.m. on Zoom. So if you're interested to sign up for baptism classes, please also sign up at info@freecomchurch.org. Okay, this will be both announced in Chinese and English. 同志内心挣扎从何而来? It's actually talking about... As LGBTQ people, where do our struggles actually come from? 传统, never mind, just turn it all on. I'm not going to read it all, but then I'll just read a few. 传统观念、社会言论、大众压力、家人遗弃、法律约束、圣经说的主流霸权、鄙视的眼光。 So where do our struggles come from? Do they come from traditional thoughts? Do they come from the society, societal... oppression? Does it come from the peer pressure? Or it could come from our family? It could come from legally in Singapore because of 377A? Or is it what the Bible says? Or is it just whatever we say due to the silent majority or the mainstream? Next. So the FCC Mandarin Ministry is actually presenting this Living Waters, which is actually a course on sexual... Reconciliation of Faith and Sexuality. So it's going to be once every 2 weeks, starting March 16, from 7:30 to 9:30. From 7:30 to 9 p.m. So please, if you are interested to join this, of course, this will be conducted in Mandarin. So if you do not speak Mandarin, please don't join this. But if you are interested, please just send a message to Stephanie at 9233-3769, and then she will probably coordinate it. So we are also doing a project that leads up to Easter, which is witnessing through stained glass. What we are doing is actually we are taking up pieces of this tiles. So you can pick up this clear tiles from the pastors or Daniel or your cell group leader, and then you can actually paint and scribble on it and then do whatever you want. And then after you do the painting, you can actually submit your artwork by 28th of March. What we'll do is... Actually, we'll collect all this and prepare a collage, and then we are just going to decorate this space, and then so that when you come on Easter Sunday, you'll see a very, very beautiful collage of stained glass. Hopefully, it will be as pretty as the picture down there. So if you'd like more instructions, please go to fcc.la/stained glass for the how-to instructions and submission details. For more information, please also email info@freecomchurch.org. Okay. If you have been with us for a very long time, you know that actually we have a very standard set of announcements, but this time we change the new announcements in front so that people don't switch off online or people don't just... Yeah. So now back to our standard broadcast, which is pastoral support. Pastoral support is still available. So if you, at this time, you find yourself struggling, whether emotionally, psychologically, physically, or you just need a listening ear, please send an email to info@freecomchurch.org, and some of our pastoral staff will actually reach out to you. Our prayer meeting is still taking place every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The link is fcc.la/fccprays. And now we have the FCC Telegram list. Please just search for FCC Broadcast within Telegram if you are on Telegram, and then you can actually just join this list. So you can stay connected with us through various social media. We are online, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, we are on YouTube, we are on WhatsApp, we are on Telegram, and we have emails for you to reach out to us. So there's many, many various ways, and all these are channels where the newest information about what's going on in church, what's happening, And any other information you may need, you can actually find us through all these means. So as we have actually continued to change our process, our SOPs of doing the Sunday digital service, the FCC Production Ministry and Communications Ministry continue to need volunteers to help us produce our Sunday service. So if you are interested, you can join us for an information session and behind the scenes, and then you can see whether it's the ministry that you would like to volunteer for. We do not require you to have any prior technical knowledge. We are all also learning on the job, but we do hope that we have more hands on deck so that we can have more rotation, and then people don't get burned out and people get a chance to take a break and actually enjoy the service as a part of the congregation. Last but not least, we would like to hear from you, your feedback, fcc.la/fccliveFeedback. I think that every Sunday we actually come out with this slide. Every Sunday we don't receive any feedback. Either that or we receive one feedback. But I think the idea is that, please note that the FCC production ministries are not mind readers. Seriously, I mean, as I was mentioning in the beginning, we do want to try to engage you more, but if we don't hear from you about what you want, about the service, about the, whether digital, on-site or anything, we are just, you know, imagining in our head what we want, and then we are just projecting it on you. So what we want may not be what you want. So we really, really do hope that you can feedback to us, be it good, be it bad. I mean, and as much to our abilities, we will try to improve. And then we want to try to make this a two-way street where we know that engagement is two ways. We are not here to just put up a show for you. So since engagement is two ways, we do want to hear from you. So please do take some time out to fill up this feedback form so that we may know whether we are doing a good job or we are doing a crappy job, but whatever it is, so that we have an idea rather than, you know, we just imagine in our head whether we are doing a good job or not. Now we invite Pauline to come and give us the benediction.
And now may you receive the benediction. Dear God, how you amaze us with your love. That even as we progress in life, we realize how little we know of your love for us. That your love is so expansive, so, so great. God, you gave us the reason to have a story to tell, to be able to tell of our story of you and us. And so now go as God's people of love, transformed by love, embodying God's love in this world today. Amen.
Okay, thank you for joining us this Sunday service. Service is now over. We wish you a very, very good week ahead. Please bring along your communion trash and then throw it out as you move out from this unit. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Is service over?